Hello, what's going on, Stunt Galaxy? Yeah, I broke it out even though you hate it. This is another edition of the Stunt Granny Audio with Eric and Kevin. Kevin, what's going on tonight, man?
What? You always announce the asshole edition, but you can't announce the Rob Van Sandman edition.
The Rob Van Sandman. Thank you. I didn't need the shirt changing.
You secretly like Jeremy Moore. I always knew it.
No. I just... It dawned on me as I was saying your name, and then I'm like, it would just be awkward if I tried to work it in right now. Kevin, how's it going tonight? At the beginning of the Rob Van Sandman edition. So then what happens to get called out on it?
So it's a no-win situation for you.
It really was. Well, anytime Sandman is involved, there's essentially no win at all.
Oh, yeah. That is very true, so I can't wait to talk about some no winning later tonight.
Yeah, whether it be a shoot interview where he lays on a couch the whole time, or Captain Lou Albano's birthday party where I think he got naked or got into a fight or drunkenly fell off a table or something. Yeah, when it comes to the Sandman, or actually, rumor has it, and I don't think it's even a rumor, I think it was reported on .net that Sandman was backstage for the TNA tapings last night. That's the Sandman impression for you right there. That I think Lyndon Walker actually mentioned it on the Pro Wrestling Torch forum. It's funny that Sandman was brought back after calling Dixie a whole bunch of names like a fucking twat or a fucking cunt or something like that, and she goes ahead and brings him back.
Seriously? He did that?
Yeah, the last time that he worked for them and then was essentially let go or just told that he wasn't going to be used anymore, it sounds like he just went off on a rant and called her a bunch of names, and there you have it. Now he's back.
Outstanding.
It's funny because somebody posed the question, what other line of work could you do something like that in besides wrestling?
Not a whole lot. I know that much.
I'm going to try that. I'm going to go into work tomorrow and call my boss a fucking twat and see how soon after she fires me that she rehires me.
I would guess it would be longer than the amount of time that Sandman has done.
Yeah. He's like a bad penny. He just keeps popping up everywhere at the most random times, at the most random hardcore reunions, which they have all over the Northeast.
Oh man.
Speaking of hardcore reunions, though, let's rewind a little bit further than we normally do. This past Thursday on TNA Impact.
Well, I think I did a piss poor job of bringing up Sandman early, and it kind of wrecked the flow.
His drunk ass stumbled into everything.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're already drinking beer at the beginning of the show, these things happen.
That's right. Oh, my God. Our listeners would be happy to know, especially Keish from thefullpint.com, would be happy to know that I have a can of Keystone Light sitting in my fridge right now, and I really should get to that.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm drinking a Saranac Amber Wheat Ale currently.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know if I'm going to go any place with a fancy beer this weekend. I'm going to go to an Italian restaurant with some nice wine, but I need to report to you on some local beer that I've had in Des Moines. There's some good stuff in Des Moines, Iowa, surprisingly.
Oh, cool.
There are a handful of breweries and anyway, sometime we'll have a special beer edition of Stunt Granny Audio.
It sounds like a good plan.
Shit, actually, Keish, if you're listening, if you're out there, find a way to get a hold of us, talk to us on the forum, and tell us if you'd be interested in having a beer edition of Stunt Granny Audio with me and Kevin. Mostly you two, because I'm still in the Keystone Light phase of my life, apparently.
Jesus. Yeah, don't worry. I have that stuff sometimes anyway.
Yeah. Well, and I thought I graduated to, what is it? Is it Creek? K-R- IEK or EIK, and I can't remember, the cherry lambic. But then every time I get it, I remember there's a cork in the fucking bottle. And it's like, when I'm out drinking beer, who's got a corkscrew? So then I'm screwed, and I got to dig around all goddamn night. I get to drink one bottle of beer.
Yeah, I had to put more in the fridge here for tonight. I only had one Yingling left aside from this one, so.
Yeah. No, definitely time to stock up. In honor of Sandman, of course.
Yes.
And at some point, the Rob Van part will, I don't know, appear.
Yeah, for a fun flashback match.
Nice. So this last Thursday night on TNA Impact was the episode that we've all been waiting for. Tommy Dreamer stands in the ring and starts crying. Kevin, what did you think of it? It was about a 6 or 7 minute segment of Tommy Dreamer saying that he's been watching TNA from the start. He was in WWE when TNA started, and all of his friends would go work for TNA and be like, Tommy, you got to come here, you got to come here. At which point the tears started flowing and he started welling up. And he watched this company grow, and this company has grown, and something else. And then now that basically got let go because it's a piece of shit. Now I'm here in TNA, and I want to make it grow. And then he invited Dixie in, and he's like, and then Dixie said, this is the best part. Dixie says, you're going to get your own pay-per-view with one stipulation. You're in complete control of it. Which either makes her look like the most generous idiot in the world or like the dumbest wrestling booker, like, I have no idea what to even do with you guys, so you go ahead and do it yourself. But I was going to see what you thought of the segment overall.
I was happy. Maybe I did not see the part with Dixie Carter because it cut off at some point, and I just didn't give a shit. And I didn't even go back to read it to see what the hell happened, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
So what the fuck? It was so bad. It's just like, oh, I should have come here earlier. It's like, well, then fuck, why didn't you? He said he ended up getting out of his contract on his own. So it's just kind of like, you know what? I had to feed my two kids. Like, I love how it sounds bad. Like, I needed the bigger paycheck to feed my kids. Like, how is that a negative?
Right. Not to mention, how bad does it make TNA look that they can't compete on the pay scale of WWE? I mean, they're basically admitting that they're the Bush League.
Yeah, which I didn't even think about that aspect of it.
I mean, you never heard... I don't know. You don't really hear too much about. I know basketball players get bigger contracts here and there and whatnot. And usually, if they switch teams, they get a comparable or bigger contract. But you never hear about them saying like, "I didn't want to go to the Oklahoma City Thunder for the first 5 years because I have kids to feed."
That'd be outstanding if we heard that sometime.
Yeah.
I've got to take the bigger paycheck because I already have kids in 6 different cities.
Yeah, no shit.
that would be an outstanding moment in sports.
Yeah, that would be a Stuart Scott moment. I don't know what that means. No, that's funny, though, that you mentioned that. Just cause I kind of spaced it off, but yeah, that makes TNA look really shitty.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, we don't have nearly the money. And plus, it was just, like, if they were going to come in and get the keys of their own pay-per-view, why did they do what they did the week before? Like, it just for the hell of it, I suppose?
Yeah, did they need to do it to prove a point of some sort?
Yeah, like, it has no context now. It's like they just did it just to kind of sort of do it. And nobody wanted revenge either. Like, nobody came down to whoop their ass because they were pissed off about last week either.
Yeah, all the guys were standing right there in the ring. All you need to do is run about, 40 yards or something like that, or 30 yards down to the ring. I don't know how far it is, if that. And then just attack the guys that attacked you the week before.
Yeah, so there were a lot of things to me that didn't make a whole lot of sense in that segment.
Yeah, really. No, that's another excellent point. The fact that if they were going to get their own pay-per-view anyway, why the hell beat up? Why make enemies out of an entire roster? I mean, Christ, look at the fucking roster page. It's like the goddamn U.S. Army on there. It's fucking 800 people under fucking contract to this company. And here's seven ragtag 40-somethings, fat, lazy, and out of shape, that run down to the ring and somehow or another beat all these guys up. Like, why would you want to make them your enemy when you already have a pay-per-view in your possession?
Yeah. No reason whatsoever.
Very good point. And, yeah, I don't know. Does this make you, I guess let me gauge your interest in the pay-per-view before you saw this angle. They announced it before the angle aired. Were you really all that psyched about the show anyway?
Hardcore justice. That's the porn version of it.
Yeah. No, it's funny, actually, before you answer, somebody said, I think it was Powell, was like, well, I like that name because it sounds less of a porno than Hard Justice. I'm like, it sounds equally pornographic, if not more Steven Seagal-ish.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Steven Seagal always had the three-word titles in almost all of his movies.
Yep, pretty much. God.
So you weren't right in with that.
Yeah, so you weren't really that interested in the show to begin with. Just like the hardcore concept.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm still not very cool on the whole theme pay-per-views, but they already have one that's all in cages, and they did that already this year, didn't they?
Yeah, Lockdown, I think, is in April, if I'm finally, after all these years, getting my TNA pay-per-view schedule straight.
Yeah, well, good for you. I'm not.
Oh, I love your dismissive tone.
So, I mean, they've already had one similar to it, really. There's nothing much to differentiate it.
Right.
And I don't know. Maybe it's just because the ECW guys are involved that it makes it even stranger, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, they keep on trying to be more edgy and more, like, old school kind of ECW in some ways, but they still lame out of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's what the problem is that their version of hardcore is almost more offensive than the WWE. Well, it is more offensive than the WWE going PG.
Yeah.
It's because, like, they only half-ass the hardcore aspects of them. So, like, the differentiation isn't that big.
Well, and, okay, because they're still WWE light, whether they like to admit it or not. They're still presented as and produced in the same way as and written in the same way as a WWE show, mostly because there are so many former WWE people there. Or, you know, even WCW in its dying days really wasn't that far off either. And even somebody like Jarrett, who spent years in WWE before going to WCW when it closed, you know, that's just what they know. That's the type of TV they know how to present. They don't, and not to sound too, like, nostalgic or cheesy or cliche or anything like that, but the hardcore aspect of ECW really came from the spirit of the booker and the spirit of the wrestlers, and no one in TNA has that. You know, Dixie Carter isn't a rebellious 27-year-old New Yorker like Paul Heyman was when he got into ECW. And Eric Bischoff isn't exactly Todd Gordon. And Hulk Hogan isn't exactly fucking Terry Funk, that's for sure. It's just completely just misguided and I don't know. If they're doing it to pop a rating, if they're doing it to pop a buy rate, they're going to fall on their face, I promise you. I was listening to Cornette's commentaries earlier today on Who's Slamming Who on a podcast website, and Cornette made some comment about how TNA's all up in arms about how many people watch their pay-per-views on the internet for free. Well, it's funny because hundreds of thousands of people are watching UFC for free on pay-per-view, and they shouldn't be. And tens of thousands or lots of tens of thousands are watching it on a WWE pay-per-view live for free on the internet when they're not supposed to. And something like 1,500 people are watching their pay-per-views for free on the internet, TNA.
Uh-huh.
You know, no one fucking cares to begin with. And so what are they going to pop a buy rate out of? People who aren't paying attention, that don't give a fuck about Tommy Dreamer and Raven anymore. And they're putting the whole, here, let me ask you this question then. They're putting their entire company on hold for this show. I want to know what you think about that.
Because are they not keeping any of these guys around at all, like after this pay-per-view?
I don't know. Keep thinking. Keep on that train of thought while I look something up here quick.
Yeah, no, because that's one thing that I guess hasn't, I've kind of heard that question. I'm just like, oh, well, you know, they're not, if they're going to keep some or most of these guys around, like Rhino was already under contract, so why isn't he still around doing something at least?
Yeah.
If you're fucking paying him, make him do something. was Stevie Richards around, and he'd been sitting on his ass for a while now since the whole Dr. Stevie thing went fucking stupid?
And a bit, yeah, they let him go, and so they're bringing him back again specifically for this angle.
Okay. Yeah, I don't get it. Like, it to me, the biggest problem that I have, it doesn't anymore. That's the sad thing. Mm-hmm. It was almost a ripoff of the Nexus angle. Like, and I know that the Nexus angle has been done before, too, honestly.
Yeah.
But to have something so similar happen, similar time is kind of weird. You know what I mean?
It completely undercuts the impact of the angle.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
And the better part about the WWE angle is that these are new guys that we were just starting to become familiar with, and it's kind of exciting to see what they're gonna do next. The ECW guys are A, old, B, pretty much haven't been relevant for almost 15 years, and C, we just saw them do this 5 years ago in WWE. So it's really not that exciting anymore.
Yeah, and then leaning into that hardcore thing, like, all these guys just are too beat up to really go for it right now.
Yeah.
Like... So, yeah, if they're literally just bringing them in for this pay-per-view, it makes even less sense than if they keep these guys around, I guess.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at least they'd be investing in something that they're going to do. But I don't care. And, like, what was their new nickname's going to be? EV2?
Yeah, the extreme version 2. Yeah.
2. It's just like, ugh. You know, and yeah, you just kind of hate to the kind of the still hypocritical nature. Oh God, this is going back to Tommy Dreamer's thing. Mm-hmm. But him saying, "Oh, I watched them crush ECW," and I'm just like, wasn't that everybody's kind of fault in ECW? Like the WWE helped them out literally as much as they could financially for the most part without outright buying them. To keep them running sometimes.
Yeah.
It's just like, you guys are a bunch of goddamn idiots in the first place. Like, don't pull that horse shit on me. Like, you guys were part of the problem, too.
Yeah, that's true. And it's also funny, they're trying to rewrite history by calling themselves Version 2. We've already seen Version 2. It came in WWE over the last, you know, 5 years, starting with the one-night stand pay-per-view. So I guess I understand from like a take back the night sort of, you know, a take out the power of the epithet way of looking at it, that they want to call this version 2, even though there's already been a version 2. But when you go back in history, if you say that out loud and think about it for a second, you're going to say version 2, well, there's the original, and then there's the WWE version, and now there's this one, so that's a misnomer anyway. This whole thing is just so off track. And it's going to result in a terrible pay-per-view. This is what I was looking for. Let me run this down. This comes from pwtorch.com. I don't think it's only members, but if it is, I apologize for giving away member news. 99% of the time, I don't do that. Based on spoilers from TV tapings lately, so if you don't want to listen to spoilers, go fuck yourself. Go listen to somebody else's podcast. July 29th Impact, and I'm going to lead into a question. Actually, let me go ahead and ask you the question now. So the episode of Impact after Hardcore Justice, it has been reported that it will be presented as basically a two-hour pay-per-view. It's going to have pay-per-view caliber matches. There'll be commercials. No promos, no vignettes, nothing like that. It won't be your typical Impact. And I wrote a big thing about why I think that's silly. You can read it. I think I wrote it. It's in a blog, so if you want to look it up under blogs. But so let me lead into your answer by reading you this stuff. July 29th on Impact, the main event is going to be Abyss versus Tommy Dreamer in a hardcore match. That's something that could legitimately be on pay-per-view. And then Motor City Machine Guns versus Beer Money for the tag team belt in match three of their series. What's that?
Hold on. They're waiting for the third match of the series until after the next pay-per-view?
No. This is going to be July 29th. So this is going to be this coming Thursday.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Okay. And I'm not the biggest fan of the way they're doing this. I don't think they should be giving these all away for free on TV, but that's my, I don't know. There are other ways to do it. I don't think they should all be on TV. And actually, they're not. They are. Because the following week, on Impact, main event, Rob Van Dam teams with Tommy Dreamer, so there's two of your guys from EV2, versus Raven, also in EV2, and Abyss, who got his ass kicked by EV2. So that makes no sense. And match four of the Motor City Machine Guns Beer Money series, as well as Jay Lethal versus Ric Flair in a street fight. Hardcore Justice pay-per-view, RVD versus Jerry Lynn, non-title, and Tommy Dreamer versus Raven with Mick Foley as the special guest referee. So there's your slow-motion match of the night. Fucking 5 minutes of action stretched out into a 20-minute segment. And then the special Impact for August 12th features RVD versus the number one contender Abyss for the TNA world title. Then we get match five of the Machine Guns versus Beer Money. And we're getting the Kurt Angle AJ Styles match, top 10 rankings, you know, Kurt Angle trying to climb the ladder. So I guess what I'm getting at is they're going to do this special edition of Impact the Thursday after the pay-per-view that they're claiming is going to be this pay-per-view quality show. What the fuck difference does it make when they're giving away these huge matches all the time?
It really does not matter squat. Like, they are such a bunch of dumbasses. You know, well, and you're right, because I started thinking about it, because who was it? Was it Jeff Hardy, Samoa Joe, 2 weeks ago was the TV main event?
Yep.
Like, these two have never hooked up before. I'm like, seriously, you're doing this on free TV, Samoa Joe, mm-hmm. Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
Like, in this past week, they did something else kind of big. Oh, and I guess I kind of understand, but it was Angle versus Hernandez first ever match.
Right, yeah.
And it's just like, oh my lord, like, I can't believe they didn't give it more time than they did.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if you're going to have Angle beat some, well, yeah, no, that's the only point, really. If you're going to have Angle beat somebody on regular TV, make it a co-main event or something, or the mid-main event. And haven't wrestled for quite a while.
Yeah, I see no problem with Kurt Angle. You know, these guys are the top 10 contenders. It's not like he's wrestling Amazing Red, you know. These guys are contenders for the world title. Yeah, they should be long matches.
Yeah. And fucking A. Because that wasn't even the point of your question. I just keep on going off on tangents because there's other shit to make fun of. Because, even though we both agreed that one episode was good, like, it's almost been all completely downhill since then.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that makes that all the funnier, honestly.
Yeah, really. Well, and here's some, I mean, I wrote about in my blog the idea that part of professional wrestling for years and years, I'm not even going to use backstage segments as an example, because I think those are egregiously done and poorly conceived and stupidly presented. You know, oh, there just happens to be a camera standing there listening to Edge talk. And, oh, his opponent just happens to not be anywhere near a TV where he can hear it. You know, stuff like that's dumb. But there have been interviews in professional wrestling on television since the dawn of time. And TNA is saying, we're going to give you a TV show with no interviews. Vignettes or video packages are always good to help fans remember what the background of the feud is. Then they're telling us, okay, we're not going to give you any vignettes during the show either. So, okay, they're essentially, if you want to consider wrestling to be a three-part show between promos, vignettes, and wrestling matches, well, they just told you it's only going to be one-third as entertaining as a regular wrestling show. Why would I want to tune in? Granted, you know, we're going to see Angle versus Styles. That's kind of cool. RVD versus Abyss. I don't give a fuck about that.
New, already been done, too, fairly recently on TV.
Yep. The Machine Guns and Beer Money Inc., no offense to those guys, but five matches in a row on free TV is overkill.
Well, and on top of that, they're being such dumbasses with that angle. They start off with a ladder match, and then they move to a street fight already. You can't really escalate too far at that point.
Right. That's true.
You know, the first two should just be regular fucking matches for the most part.
Yeah. Well, like, let's go all the way back to 1999. Edge and Christian versus the Hardys in the Terry Invitational Tournament. I'm pretty sure that was a best of five, if I remember right. And the finals was the ladder match, the one that put those guys on the map, No Mercy, October 1999.
Yeah, nothing was funky about those first four matches, I don't think, from what I remember.
I think there might have been a cage match on Raw, but this was an era where ladder matches were solving all the issues and not cage matches. But yeah, otherwise, I'm hard-pressed to remember any other, like, anything that would have been above a ladder match.
Exactly. Agreed.
Yeah, I don't know. Russo is just, I don't know, he's got his head up his ass like usual.
Yeah, no, I really, because your blog really did almost put it perfectly. Like, promos have always been part of wrestling. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, why aren't you having those? You know, even if it's just the guys who are coming up the next matches, like, even if you just eliminate if you even eliminated the vignettes, it wouldn't be bad. You know what I mean? Like, if it was just the guy talking about their match, I think I'd be down with that. Like, it would give you a little bit of a breather in between all the action.
Uh-huh.
Aside from commercial break.
Right. Well, and okay, I'll use, like, I don't know if I've got this exactly right, but I'll use, like, WrestleMania 5 as an example. I've been thinking about this, actually, lately. WWE pay-per-views are pretty much exclusively matches with feuds behind them, which, to their credit, is good. But that means that every pay-per-view you get a two-minute video package and then the match, and then a two-minute video package and then the match, and then a promo and a promo. They're usually set backstage, a dude just standing around in the locker room, looking off into the distance, video package, match. Okay, fine, whatever. Take a WrestleMania 5, for instance. I swear the only matches that had video packages to go along with them were Ultimate Warrior and Rick Rude, and Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage. What I'm getting at is, sometimes you need them. Sometimes, I mean, they had legitimate feuds that we needed to go back in history and remind everybody about. So yeah, what happens if you're trying to do this? Let's say Spike TV promotes this huge TNA show, trying to hook some fans, and a handful of people tune in, and they're giving as their main event Rob Van Dam. Oh, I remember that guy from like 10 years ago, versus Abyss. Who the fuck is this piece of shit? Why is he wrestling for the TNA title? What the fuck is this? You know, why would we care about this joker? This fucking guy who looks like Mankind. Why do we care about him wrestling for the world title? Maybe a promo isn't a bad idea. Maybe a vignette might help a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, and on top of this, you're piggybacking a pay-per-view with pay-per-view stuff.
Right.
Which doesn't make a whole lot of sense either.
Right.
You know, whatever. There are too many things that that are just completely and utterly wrong with that this whole dealio.
There are, and they're going to continue to unfold in the next couple of weeks. So maybe we can move on from TNA and let themselves keep shooting themselves in the foot.
They do that quite well.
They sure do. How do you feel about fast-forwarding to Monday night?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of we've hit TNA hard and fast here recently, and I'm about burnt out on them. It's been more often than our once a month venting.
Yeah, really, it has. They keep putting fuel on the fire, though, jerks. Well, then moving on
about them.
Yeah, well, moving on to Monday night, the hype for SummerSlam continues, and the show centered around dissension among six out of the seven guys that are part of the Monday Night Raw team. Let's see if I can name them all at this point. John Cena, The Great Khali, Edge, Chris Jericho, John Morrison, R-Truth, and then Bret Hart was nowhere to be seen because I think he's on his honeymoon.
Yeah.
I guess, I don't know, there are a couple of ways to look at this dissension. Is it tired and shredded territory, or is it... Is it a smart, logical way to put an angle like this together since you got heels and baby faces teaming up? I guess, what do you think about dissension among the ranks?
You know, if they were organized enough that they fought together the previous week,
mm-hmm.
but then all of a sudden everything surfaces again, it was just kind of like, haven't all of you, for the most part, gotten beat down enough that you can honestly do it for long enough to smack these idiots around? And then it is kind of tired. It's just kind of like, oh, you know, I complain about it with Russo all the time. It's just like he puts a team together and then they start fighting right away. And
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There is, as you pointed out, there's a little more logic to this one because it is heels and baby faces teaming up.
Mm-hmm.
And at least one of the complaints I'm not going to argue with, which is Khali getting booted from the group.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of like, come on, like they can't already be against each other. Oh, you know, this is just fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just got together. They've all been beaten down at least like what, two or three times in Edge and Jericho's case.
Sure.
It's just like, okay, you know what, we really should probably do something about this. Let's just stop fucking around for a little bit, just long enough to deal
yeah,
with this.
We can let bygones be bygones until SummerSlam. But,
yeah,
I don't know, it just because of the Russo background, it does really just seem like tired, worn territory. That was my gut reaction as I watched this. The Jericho Cena interaction was good, but the Morrison R-Truth thing was very forced, I thought. Edge and Khali, who have never, I don't even know if they've ever crossed paths, and I'm really kind of glad they haven't. Even I'm like, wow, you guys are really stretching to like pair these guys off as folks who are pretending to be pissed off all of a sudden. Like you said, Kevin, after 1 week of solidarity.
Yeah.
And because they had to tape Raw, because they're going overseas next week, that's another edition of Raw with no Bret Hart to come in and play Peacemaker. So we're going to get more of the same next week, I assume.
Yeah, maybe he can call a Canada a USA truce or something.
Yeah, no international incident. We've got Edge and Jericho on that. And Khali, I guess he's a foreigner.
Yep.
Also.
Yep. What the fuck else is going to... there was something else in there. I completely blanked on what the fuck it was. Fuck me.
Well, and then on the other side of things, though, we've got Nexus destroying seven guys from the Monday Night Raw roster, including Evan Bourne. And, yeah, okay, fine. So they did it elimination style, which that's another thing. So they throw this thing in there where all of a sudden the guys from Raw don't like each other. Oh, and also while we're at it, this is an elimination match at SummerSlam now too, which I really don't think is necessary, but I guess my question for you is, was it realistic to have Nexus beat down 7 veteran Raw wrestlers? Would it have hurt Nexus to lose, like, a guy, one guy in the elimination match, or does it make them look that much stronger? I mean, can we look past all that and say, okay, Nexus is the strong group here, there are no weak links, whereas WWE can't seem to get along?
Yeah, I think the point was almost so obvious that it was too obvious, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like, instead of hitting you over the head with a rubber mallet, they decided to use like a 10-pound sledgehammer or something.
And we all know how much that works. That'll get you 14 world titles.
I thought it was too much. I'm like, okay, they're going to let Bourne pin a guy or two before he gets eliminated. Or even with Mark Henry, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I know that they have Mark Henry lose a lot and all, mm-hmm. but it's usually to the big guys, and they're really quite literally big. And not yeah. like, they all went down like they were jobbers. It was just like, oh, come on. Like, I guess I was surprised that they did try to put them over that strong, but like, after looking at it, you're like, no, this wasn't strong at all whatsoever.
Right. Well, and they took out the unified tag team champs. I mean, would it have hurt Heath Slater to be pinned by one of the tag team champs of the Hart Dynasty? Would it have killed, I don't know, who's another guy, Darren Young, to take the fucking World's Strongest Slam? I don't know why this stuck out to me. Mark Henry had somebody in a position at least twice, if not three times, to give him the World's Strongest Slam. Instead, he gave somebody an overhead press. He body slammed another guy twice. It's like, dipshit. You have a chance to take one of these guys out, do it. Or like you said, you know, let Evan Bourne get his 450 on somebody. I mean, hell, if he pinned Justin Gabriel with it, but then Gabriel somehow came back and tripped him up or something like that. Cool, we've got a built-in feud now after SummerSlam. The two high flyers with the flashy moves.
Yep. Yeah. I really do think that it would have made... You know, you had to have them win strong. So, you know, I don't think any more than two people really could have lost on their team.
Right.
But, yeah, it just would have made it a little more realistic. Especially, like, I think those two out of everybody, because I guess I so disregard the tag team champions as anything worthwhile.
Uh-huh.
So... You know, whatever, they're pinned. Nobody seems to give a shit, so... a bear shit in the woods, and nobody saw it. Did he really shit there? Who knows? So, you know, whatever the fuck. It was just too much. Too much. And the dissension... And again, with the dissension, like... Maybe if they had just had Cena and Jericho bickering,
mm-hmm.
then it might not have been too bad, I guess.
Sure. At least then you'd have, like, a weak link instead of an entire weak team. And that actually goes back to the Nexus thing, you know. It's a good thing that the match now is an elimination match. How did I think this? You know, God forbid Mark Henry would have pinned Darren Young. And then we, in an elimination style match, but then we go to SummerSlam. Let's say they didn't have the elimination stipulation in place. You know, Darren Young becomes the point of contention. Is he going to be the guy who gets pinned or whatever? So it was just like, in a weird sort of way, it was that even Steven shit that we hate. You know, like to make everybody look like they're on par, 7 rookies have to go 7-0 against WWE superstars. While another set of WWE superstars all suddenly hate each other. It's just kind of, it was predictable, and it doesn't excite me for SummerSlam the way I hope that I would have been.
I guess it'll be telling. Like, the one thing that I guess I am interested in now that it's an elimination match is, like, what order the guys from Nexus get booted.
Sure.
you know, just to see if they're going to go, you know, classic, like the, how they were still even perceived on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, maybe some guys they think moved up in ranking. Like, Tarver has been given the mic an awful lot.
And he's been delivering.
Andy's been delivering. So it's just kind of like, well, I don't know. Does he end up getting eliminated? Because what, wasn't he the first guy to get canned along with Daniel Bryan because they chose to leave?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I would have to think that he might get eliminated, you know, at a little later stage. At least in my opinion, he would.
Yeah, I would hope so. And if the only other reason they wouldn't is because, you know, maybe everyone attacked him or Skip Sheffield because they're the biggest threats, you know, whatever, something storyline-wise like that.
Right.
Take him out early so all you're left with is Heath Slater.
the one more man rock and roll band.
Blech. Really, the only thing that's going to pique my interest now about this match is if they allude to cohesion or being in cahoots with the general manager, and maybe we'll figure out who it is at SummerSlam. But otherwise, just seeing the heels win 7-0 and seeing the good guys, his team, whatever, however you want to term it, not like each other, it's like, okay, I get it. I understand. I've seen it before. This is nothing new. Let's see. As far as guys that aren't involved in that match, though, we had a few other things happen on Raw. What do you make of The Miz and Sheamus and their interaction, especially considering Sheamus is the WWE champion and Miz holds the Money in the Bank contract and briefcase, and he's been threatening to cash it in the last 2 weeks. What do you make of this angle between these two?
Yeah, I like it. I think if they do it every week, it's going to get a little old.
Mm-hmm.
But their argument backstage was flawless. yeah, I just really like that because even the face, like after he Sheamus smacks the briefcase away from him, the Miz kind of gave that like, I'm still so pissed off that I lost my chance again.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he is also kind of maybe gave that idea because I think Sheamus told him to challenge him one-on-one or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I think that the Miz also kind of conveyed that in his face, that he kind of realized a bit. And, you know, with him thinking he's awesome, he definitely wants to be kind of in that sort of a position to me. So
yeah.
I think his kind of facial expressions really brought that one home to me.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. I like the way that these two interact with each other. I think the angle's cool. I think you're right. They need to, like, cool it down for a couple weeks if possible. Last week it was phenomenal. I mean, the crowd was ready for it. They're excited. You never know what's going to happen. Is history going to be made if you can call world titles changing hands history anymore? this week it's like, he probably won't do it because we just saw him not do it last week, but, you know, whatever. And it takes 2 weeks sometimes to drive the point home, but I'm hoping for a moratorium on this for the next few weeks anyway. Then we'll see what happens maybe after SummerSlam or at SummerSlam. But yeah, I think they're both talented performers and they're good on the mic, and I have no problem whatsoever with these two working with each other to sort of elevate each other. I think they're good for it. I think they're certainly better than John Morrison and R-Truth. You know, this little mini feud that they're doing, I see no benefit for either of these guys. What do you make of that? I guess it goes back to the dissension thing, but I guess the other thing I was going to ask you about is, what do you think of John Morrison's beard?
I think he might need a little more beard if he's going to go with beard.
Okay.
You know, I think it needs to get a little shaggier if he wants to do it. Like, either that or just go full-on Jim Morrison. I've had way too much peyote and various other drugs and just kind of go all out and do a Mike Knox beard. Knox, Jim Morrison, kind of just ridiculous thing.
That would be badass. I don't know, man. Like, I highly doubt that they're in a position to turn either one of those guys heel. I could see it with the beard being grown out by Morrison, because facial hair does equal heel turn. I truly don't think people care enough about John Morrison. They care about a heel turn. It'll probably fall flat like his baby face turned in when Miz kicked him in the gut. But between the little like side angle with him and R-Truth, I was going to bring up Ted DiBiase too, for a couple of reasons. One, the John Morrison Ted DiBiase feud, which to me is going nowhere, but I wanted to see what you thought of it. And I saw that the Million Dollar Man, the original Ted DiBiase, said in an interview that he has mixed feelings about his son's push right now, and that he thinks it's kind of a retread of his own rich character. He says that he hopes his son is able to make it his own and maybe take off with it in some other direction. So that was kind of news anyway, but I don't know. I was going to see what you thought of the whole Ted DiBiase thing as it's playing out so far, he and Maryse, and blah, 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 whatever those two are up to.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing, is that similarly, really, to TNA, because there are some people on Team Cena that were involved in other angles,
yep.
They've kind of pulled them out of their angles, because I don't think there are too many, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But I seem to think that Jericho or Edge were kind of doing something.
They were kind of at each other's throats, but yeah, Jericho had only really like wrestled Evan Bourne a few times previous to this angle now. So, and Edge, I think, was in the same boat. He had moved on from Randy Orton, but not really to anything.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, I guess that there was less going with that team than anything, because God knows Kali wasn't doing anything.
No, hell no.
Yeah. And it made obvious that Cena going into this thing would want to get rid of it rather than worry about the world title. So, that isn't too shocking.
Yeah.
I guess Morrison is left as the only one that was really in an angle, because R-Truth just came back from injury, I think.
Yep.
And really, Morrison, this was his first feud after his injury.
His feud with DiBiase, yep.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing that hasn't really helped that feud in general, is that I think they're trying to establish Ted DiBiase.
Yeah, as what?
I don't know, if you're trying to adjust John Morrison at the same time and kind of get him reintroduced and kind of back, I mean, even if he wasn't main event, he was certainly higher when he got injured than right now. Like, so, it was weird. Something's happened in between his injury time and now.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's like losing your starting. No one loses their spot as a starter when they're injured. And
yeah.
He seemed to, well, and not only did he lost his spot, but it seems like it was rightly so.
He's missed a step, and actually Jeremy and I were talking about this, and sometime I'll get Dusty on the line. He and I are having a spirited debate over whether or not John Morrison is worth a shit. I've got my problems with him. I think his promos are stupid. If I can go back to that hippopotamus, platypus, rhinoceros promo he cut a couple weeks ago, not to mention the fact that his wrestling just looks weak as shit as far as I'm concerned. His punches look bad, and his Irish whips, which... If we're being made to believe that Irish whips are actually a part of a fight, then at least do them so it looks like you're, you know, trying to get your opponent to rebound off the ropes, not like you're swatting away at a bee and trying to run scared from it. Jeremy and I were saying that, though, John Morrison seems like he's missed a step, or more than just a step, in the last couple of months. And so, between that, his weak wrestling, his weak promos, and Ted DiBiase just kind of falling flat like a fart, and Maryse not really giving him much to sink his teeth into either. I just don't see what a feud between these two is going to do for either one of them at this point.
Yeah, well, and what's his, DiBiase, it seemed like they were going in some direction of kind of presenting him similarly to his father, even when Maryse came on board. But to get into the feud with Morrison, he kind of had to drop his interactions with Maryse, which I think was a problem because they're not fully connected still. Like, the two of them, like, I think they have more story that they could have told about them being together and just have them do vignettes. Good Lord, I've seen enough Alberto Del Rio segments on SmackDown that I'm sure that the WWE could find some time to do something similar with Ted DiBiase and Maryse. I don't care if they're out shopping. Take them down to, you know, like the strip or something. Take them somewhere nice where you are. There's got to be some decent shopping district in any city. Either that or just don't even show the fucking signage. Just show them in some nice part of downtown at, you know, city you travel to.
Yep.
And you're good to go. Like, you can pull off a segment doing something like that. And then they have more of a connection, and maybe you hate them more because DiBiase really is just buying her all this stuff. But, like, yeah, like, they don't have them. And they need enough of a sexual tension in there, too. Like, they keep on saying that stuff's going on, but they need to at least present them as, oh, maybe possibly he's getting some of that.
Absolutely.
But the way they present it is, nope, he's not even coming close to touching that thing.
Which makes him actually seem more pathetic. It's like, he'd be a great heel if he was getting the pussy and was blatantly obviously paying for it and blatantly obviously not caring. Like, I'm so rich, I don't care that I'm paying for this hot broad snatch. And she's such a bitch that she doesn't give a fuck that she's giving up the puss for the money that she's getting. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. That's a great idea. God damn it. I hope somebody's listening, because that's a fantastic idea. Because he's not cutting it in the ring right now. He can go wrestle house shows for a while. The next 4 weeks on TV, since the guy he's feuding with, Morrison, is in the main event of SummerSlam and DiBiase's not, so they had to manufacture this feud with R-Truth. Fuck it. Up until SummerSlam, don't have DiBiase wrestle. Take Kevin's idea and have them film little snippets of shopping. I love it. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's again, we say it enough times. This isn't hard. Like, I don't know why they make it so hard.
Yeah.
Both companies just make it fucking hard.
I know. And the worst part about the way they're making it hard is that they're just repeating themselves week after week. I mean, oh, okay, so Maryse stood up on the apron. Oh, so John Morrison doesn't like it. Oh, it cost John Morrison a match. Oh, Miz almost cashed in his Money in the Bank again. It's almost like the when people say if you botch a wrestling move, say you're going to your finishing sequence, and you botch a move and then you go right back to it, that makes it so obvious and it looks pathetic in Bush League. You know, you do something 1 week, maybe you don't do it next week. Maybe you don't immediately go right back to it.
And that was the other thing. It's been back-to-back weeks that they've wrestled each other.
The things have happened on Raw back-to-back weeks many, many times lately, and it's like, I understand that you're catering to an 8-year-old crowd with ADD, and you feel like you need to drill this into their heads, but, you know, you're starting to push the limits of my patience by showing me the same thing week after week after week.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know, I think that's the majority of Raw. Before we totally hit the hour mark, I was going to talk to you a little bit about NXT, aired last night. And specifically, let me get back over to my computer and read you this. Percy Watson was the subject of one of those pre-tape promo things where the pros talk about him. And he wrestled, and he won. And let's see, I can't remember where he was in the rankings. He wasn't one, that was Michael McGillicuddy. Two was Caval, three was Riley, I think. Maybe Percy was... Does four sound right for Percy Watson?
And that was another thing. It got cut off, so I didn't end up seeing that portion of things.
Okay, well, I spaced off their top rankings. But John Cena on Twitter criticized Percy Watson's performance on NXT. He says, if Percy Watson makes another one of those faces where I'm supposed to think he's mad, but it looks like he just crapped himself, I'll eliminate him. He has gone downhill every single week. Disappointing. he's really one hell of an athlete. I think he may be suffering from yip-yup syndrome, which the theory behind that is Skip Sheffield was trying to rest too hard on his yip-yup what it do thing, whereas Percy Watson's now trying to rest too much on his, oh, yeah, oh, baby, you know, which I don't buy, but.
Well, and that's the funny thing is that I kind of agree with him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I heard the promo this week. I didn't think it was bad, mm-hmm. but I think he can do more. Like, he's that good. Like, you can see, you know, why a lot of people think what they do, because, like, I'm like, oh, come on. Like, you can kind of just turn it up another notch and not depend upon. You can put in that state, that, oh, yeah, in every promo and not depend on it as much as he does.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, like, I think it's exactly what he says. Like, I don't think he's completely, to me, he's not completely crapping on him. He's like, come on, like, I know you can do this. I know you're, or I know that you're probably good at this. Just, you know, kind of cut the crap around.
Yeah.
And, you know, even if, yeah, that's kind of it to me. It's just like, trim a little bit of the fat off and you're going to be really good.
I don't know how I feel about that. I see where you're coming from with that, and it kind of goes back to what I just said about WWE presenting the same thing week after week. And it's like, how many weeks in a row can Percy Watson do Oh Baby or Oh Yeah and the Rain Fingers and everything like that? But at the same time, this is a show where you need to establish yourself, and it's only 8 weeks into the show. So I wonder if getting away from it this early is too early, if he's
uh-huh.
completely established himself yet. I think it's kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't when it comes to Percy Watson right now, because I think he's got something special. But now people are saying, you know, don't overdo it or else it's going to wear thin quickly and we're going to start taking you less seriously. So I guess I don't know what the right answer is, if there's a good, like, middle ground, or if it's a matter of not having him wrestle next week or what exactly. I mean, they've focused a lot on Husky Harris, but they've focused, I feel like the majority of the focus of this entire season has been Percy Watson. His promos have already always been the standouts, and he's had his own little talk show. Go ahead.
That was the other thing about his, just because you brought up his talk show, like, that was one of the things that I didn't like about that, is that it seemed like it was just too much sucking up to, the MVP.
Yeah.
You know, like, even though he ended up suckering him into the whole, we're going to attack you deal, or we might attack you, or what, I'm trying to think exactly what happened.
Right, yeah, when the whole...
The whole kind of... I think a big fight did end up ensuing during that whole thing.
Yeah. Well, when those guys came down, and then the Nexus came down, too.
Right. So, yeah, so I thought that was maybe a little too pandering, too. Like, I guess I expected more out of that also for some reason. Like, I guess, again, kind of going back to, I think he's that good already.
Yeah.
Like, maybe my expectations are already kind of exceeding where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
Which would lend, kind of something to your argument there, is that maybe he's still just trying to get things going.
Sure.
So it's not that bad to get off of it. And I'm sorry, I kind of cut off your train of thought there, too, just because you had brought that up.
Oh, no problem. I guess the summary of my thought was maybe absence would make the heart grow fonder, and 1 week without Percy Watson would make us long for some, oh, yeah!
And the other thing, I don't think it's a week of not having him. I
mm-hmm.
think it's a week of giving him something. Like, everything that he's done, like, the stuff that Husky Harris has done, I've liked because it's more storyline-oriented.
Sure.
The stuff that they've given Percy Watson, it just little bites, like, he's shined doing, you know, like, they've had two talking challenges now.
Right.
So he's done good in both the talking challenges, and then he had a talk show on top of that. Like, to me, those aren't angles, but what Husky's done is kind of worked his stuff. Like, even his little backstage segment with Caval is a different kind of a situation than they've ever put Percy Watson into. And I think if they kind of put over Percy Watson wanting to be a badass in the ring too,
yep,
it would help him out a lot. And maybe the whole catchphrase thing would take a back seat just naturally because he would be pulling more of a serious tone about beating whoever his opponent is next.
Sure. Well, and to go to the Husky Harris, I'm glad you brought that up to the point about him. What he's been doing every week is good character development. Like I said in my blog, in my rankings blog every week, I know what Husky Harris is. He's that high school bully asshole that, you know, the small group of people probably like to hang out with, guys on his football team, but for the most part, you just stay away from him or he'll shove you into your locker. And his interaction with Caval helped. Being berated by Cody Rhodes helped. Running over that barricade last week in the obstacle course helped. look at two other guys, Michael McGillicuddy and Alex Riley. They brawled last night to end the show, to end NXT. They just started jawing off at each other, and they started, you know, rolling around and fighting on the ground. That's cool because that probably means there's going to be a competitive feud between these two guys, one who is a cocky third-generation wrestler and the other is the varsity villain. The stuff that Percy Watson is doing, like you've mentioned, this is all stuff that he could be doing in an empty ring, in an empty arena, you know, with a fucking broomstick there. He can host a talk show without, I mean, I know you need people to talk, but he could host a talk show without anybody there. He could point and clap his hands and make it rain without anybody else around. He could cut these great charismatic promos and no one could hear him. He's not interacting with anybody to the point where it's developing his character anymore. So, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe rather than giving him some time off, maybe he needs something to sink his teeth into like Husky has and like Michael McGillicuddy and Alex Riley seem to be getting right now.
Yeah, those are my two main points for him. Like, yeah, because it, directly off the mic, good Lord, is he a lot better than Mr. McGillicuddy there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And, and he's in the finisher. Oh, my Lord. Cool move, but seriously, that is supposed to be more hurtful than something like the boom drop or,
yeah,
you know, any of those comparable ball in, this, that, or the other thing. Like, that's the kind of move that like, flip over splash is to me, especially since he isn't, like, if that was Husky Harris doing it, I'd be like, damn, dude. But, like, he's this athletic, you know, jacked guy.
Yep. Yeah,
so, yeah,
I don't know. It's just not your standard, like,
carry the same weight.
Yeah, nice. Well, it's just not your standard up and then down finishing move. The only exception to that rule that I can really think of would be a moonsault. But when you think about it, once you do your flip, you're up and then you're down. This is like some left-right bullshit. This isn't like, like a power bomb or a leg drop or a world's strongest slam or even like some of this stupid like over-the-shoulder moves like the attitude adjustment or the TKO or something like that. You got to like give yourself this weird twist in midair to make sure that you land right. And yeah, it's exactly like the boom drop or it's like Morrison's Starship Pain that he misses by a country mile every time he does it. You know, it just doesn't look – the Ultimate Warrior splash was okay. Akeem's splash was awesome, the one-man gang 747, you know, and Superfly splash, stuff like that. Now, Percy Watson doesn't have the high-flying abilities of a Jimmy Snuka or the weight of an Akeem, but that's not to say he couldn't finish a guy off with a normal splash if he, you know, demolished him with some other moves first. Yeah. The silly twist. It's something else I was talking to Jeremy about earlier today. It's like Caval's finishing move. We all know how great Caval is, whatever. Of all the wrestlers, of all the NXT guys, Alex Riley is by far the most polished WWE-style wrestler. But everyone's saying, oh, Caval should win. And it's fine, he probably should. He's a great wrestler with some cool moves, and he's been at it for a decade. But look at the Warrior's Way stomp. Like, when in WWE history can you ever think of somebody who's done a move that looks that sloppy? You know, you're not supposed to, when you do a finishing move, it's not supposed to be a matter of jumping off the top rope, stomping on your opponent with both feet, and then your feet, whoops, slip out from under you, and one leg goes that way, and one leg goes that way, and you look like you lost complete control of yourself. That's what Caval's finishing move is. That's kind of like what Percy Watson's finishing move is. Just stuff that would need tweaking if they got to be full-time WWE roster members.
Yeah, well, at least the stomp looks like it's doing some damage, even if he does look quite retarded after
the landing.
After he does it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
So,
he's not actually doing damage, though.
Right. Was there some other... something else that I felt like I needed to respond to, and I don't even know what the fuck it was, or what we had started at that got you rolling in that direction.
Oh, I also mentioned Michael McGillicuddy and Alex Riley and their burgeoning feud.
No.
I don't know if that had anything to do with it. Or maybe you wanted to talk about Eli Cottonwood's mustache t-shirt.
No, I did sport the mustache recently, so it's not a bad way to go.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, but thank God. Have fun, Mr. Rottenwood. And that was really another promo that did not really do John Morrison any good.
No, the little backstage interaction.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was pretty sad.
Did not help out at all.
No. Not in the least. So we're down one more person on NXT. Check out my blog for my 1-6 rankings if you're interested, folks. I don't know. Lucky Cannon still sucked it up. Practically cried on national television about how he didn't have friends when he was growing up. Whatever, pussy.
Yeah, wow. Just terrible. Like, if he isn't the next one cut, there is something really wrong.
I know.
Like, I need to go and vote for Husky just to make sure that they try and keep him or something.
Seriously. Everybody do that. Everybody go out and vote Husky. Just vote. Why the fuck not? Just go vote. You're not going to hurt anybody. You're not going to hurt yourself. Just go vote, and let's make sure Lucky Cannon's not on after next week.
Yeah, and let's just hope the WWE actually listens to that 50% voting block.
Yeah, really. All right, anything else you can think of in the wrestling world, Kevin?
Yes.
Yes, you can.
Hopefully,
yes,
I can tonight. I am going to do the review of the last Pro Wrestling Ohio event. There was a preview this past week for all of the Resolution matches, which happens to occur on Sunday. And I will be in attendance, and there is quite a possibility. I've tried to line up 5 interviews, and we will see what happens on that front for before the show. And I will be able to talk, lucky me, possibly, to Raven or Hacksaw Jim Duggan after the event.
How awesome would that be? Kevin DeFrango lands an interview with Hacksaw Jim Duggan for Stunt Granny.
Well, I don't know if I'll really get an interview, but we'll see what happens, I suppose. Well, they have this after party that only the VIP section gets, and I would say there were probably 4 or 5 dozen people there last year or so.
Yep.
So I don't know if I'd have enough time to actually do an interview. Plus I've still got to drive the 2.5-3 hours back here.
Yeah. Good call.
And the event starts at 3, they'll tape 3 hours worth of stuff. I believe they put it on 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be at least 6 o'clock before I can even get out of there. And if I want any of the free grub that they throw down there before I get moving, I'll probably get out of there at earliest, like 7, which means getting back down here at 10 or something.
I think it's worth it to get the free food. I say, I'm not trying to take anything away from the wrestlers or wrestling or the wrestling business, but anytime you can get free food out of a wrestling show, go for it. When I went to the Hall of Fame inductions a couple weekends ago in Waterloo, after the ceremonies and after everything was all said and done, the activities, I walk out into the main room and there's a big old tub full of ribs, and there's potato salad and stuff, and the executive director's like, hey, man, just make yourself up a plate. I'm like, shit, yeah, that's badass. Yeah, I'm going to eat ribs. Hell yeah, I'm going to watch Baron Von Raschke eat some potato salad. That'd make my day. So if I were you, I'd spend that extra hour hanging out with Hacksaw Jim Duggan and the baked beans.
Yeah, well, like I said, I won't be able to maybe directly interact. Well, I'll be able to directly, but, like, not enough to, like, actually commandeer an interview unless I somehow get a phone number or something like that.
Right, yeah.
And Raven, so, that would almost be hysterical. I think your angle on TNA is completely shitty. What do you think?
That would be brilliant. Whatever doesn't kick you out before you, whatever doesn't get you kicked out before you get to eat some of the food.
And maybe this year, if I can figure out how I can download my pictures from my phone here, then maybe I'll actually post pictures from this year again too.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. So everybody stick around this weekend and weekend, possibly early next week, and read up on Resolution from Pro Wrestling Ohio.
Yep. So that's that is my pimping for this week. So I don't know how I'm going to work the interview. So that'll be interesting. If I do them for the event, like, there's no way I'll post all of them before I post the results.
Right, yeah.
So I still just might do them and have everybody listen in beforehand or something.
Cool. That'd be awesome.
So, that is my other news since I will be busy for the site here the last next couple of days.
That's fantastic. Cool, man. All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that. And otherwise, I think that's all the wacky wrestling goings on for a while anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and sign off for my sake. So everybody take care. Keep an eye out on the site for Kevin's marathon of PWO, and I'll see you guys later.
And for the Saranac Amber Wheat Ale that I have finished and the Yingling Lager that I will soon be consuming, grandkids, have a good night.